Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends. I wonder what helps you determine you need to get to a doctor and you simply can't delay any longer. Is it the amount of your pain, or the sight of blood, or inability for your body to do things it normally has done in the past? In some parts of the world, getting to medical help is not simple and can be very expensive. So here's a more important question. From whom do you seek your medical help first, your doctor or Jesus? And what are your expectations as you call out to both Jesus and your doctor? Join me today in Luke chapter 8, my friends, as we encounter two people who needed help and both decided it was finally time they'd reach to Jesus for his miraculous help. While Matthew and Mark also give us their reports, I like Dr. Luke's because he was a physician himself, and while he was not present with Jesus on this day, I fully expect he really did his due diligence in speaking with those who were eyewitnesses. Luke tells us that by this time, whenever Jesus arrived in a town, word spread quickly and a crowd soon formed, as people expected no matter what Jesus would say or do, it would be noteworthy, and they didn't want to miss anything. If you are a parent or a grandparent, then I assume it is not difficult for you to feel the urgency and the fearlessness of Mr. Jairus, a ruler of the synagogue who came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with Jesus to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. Luke 8:41. We presume Mr. Jairus and his wife had done all the home remedies they knew, and they'd already been to see whomever the medical person was in their town, but their only daughter was growing worse very rapidly. Now, we know Jesus had healed other people from a distance in the past, but this time, it appears Jesus responded quickly, and they headed immediately to Jairus' home. I presume Jairus explaining the symptoms and what they had already done as they walked along briskly, so that as soon as Jesus would arrive, he could get right to work. But suddenly, Jesus stopped. He stood still, looking around the crowd and listening intently. I imagine the crowd grew silent, everyone looking around, wondering what Jesus was looking for and listening so intently to hear. Likely, it would have only been a few seconds and Mr. Jairus would have urged Jesus, "Please, sir, we must hurry. We already may be too late." But Jesus wasn't moving. He was searching the crowd and listening. Dr. Luke reports it this way. A woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could help her. She came up behind Jesus and touched the edge of his clothes, and immediately her bleeding stopped. No one had noticed. It was a bustling crowd on the move with Jesus, after all. But now, with Jesus having stopped and looking around and listening, finally he spoke. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Confused looks came on people's faces as they looked at Jesus and at each other. Peter broke the confusion. "Master, the people are all crowding around you and pressing against you. We all are touching you." And I can see all the people nodding and saying, "Yeah, that's right." But Jesus shook his head and looked intently and said, "Someone touched me, and I know that power has gone out from me." Now put yourself in the crowd. We're rushing with Jesus in response to Mr. Jairus and his urgent request for help for his dying daughter. And suddenly, now Jesus and the crowd have stopped, are hushed, and Jesus says someone in the crowd touched him in such a way that power has gone out from him. What could he mean? Who could it be? And then it happened. A woman who was standing right next to you stepped forward, and she knelt trembling at Jesus' feet. "It is I, Jesus," she said. Jesus bent down to lift her to her feet, and his smile calmed her fear and shame. She explained that she had suffered with a bleeding disorder for many years and spent all she had visiting every doctor and medical treatment in the region, but nothing had helped. She was growing weaker. She was slowly dying, and she knew it. But then she had heard about Jesus and some amazing things that he was doing. When she'd heard that day that Jesus was in her town, she had come, and not wanting to trouble Jesus or make a scene, she had simply reached through the crowd and taken a brief hold on his robe, asking God to do in her bleeding body what only God could do. Do you see the smile on Jesus' face as he is so pleased with such great faith? Listen, Jesus is speaking. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Oh my, such tenderness, such empathy, such respect. Her smile says it all, and she turns to disappear into the crowd. What a magnificent moment. But this peaceful joy lasted only seconds, and suddenly another voice, this time someone speaking to Jairus. Your daughter has died. Don't bother the teacher anymore. Oh my, from such a pinnacle of victory to such a depth of despair. Women in the crowd began to wail. Jairus nearly collapsed, and Jesus reaches out to support Jairus. Looking intently at Jairus, Jesus says to him, Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed. Jesus wraps his arm around Jairus' shoulder, draws him close, and they start walking again toward Jairus' house, with the crowd anxiously now walking along with them. Jesus is talking to Jairus as they walk, but the noise of the crowd, none of us can hear what he's saying. Perhaps his words are intended only for a grieving father. The wailing beckons us to Jairus' home. Neighbors and friends have gathered with Jairus' wife as she grieves. Jesus asks the crowd to wait in the street and invites three of his disciples to come with him and Mr. Jairus as they enter the small courtyard of this grieving house. Jesus pauses, looks at the people. Death, especially death of a child, is so painful, isn't it? But then Jesus shocked them all. Stop wailing. The child is not dead, but asleep. Some of the people were offended at his comment. How could he be so insensitive? Others thought it was a comment of hope, but in poor taste, for they knew she was not sleeping. She had actually died. Some simply laughed at him and ignored him. Mark reports, Jesus took the child's father and mother, Peter, James, and John, and they entered to where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha cum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Mark 5:40 and 41. Seconds seemed like hours. All eyes were fixed on the girl. No one spoke or even breathed. Suddenly, her eyes opened. She took some deep breaths. She turned and saw her parents, and she sat up. Stunned, her parents rushed to embrace her. Jesus stepped back and savored the moment. I wonder what Jesus thought in that moment. The day before, he had calmed a storm with only words, then freed a man from thousands of demons who were tormenting him. Now, within a few moments, Jesus has healed a dear woman from 12 years of bleeding and raised a young girl to life from the dead. Peter, James, and John were speechless, their mouths hanging open, their minds grasping for some logic to explain what they have just witnessed. They knew she had not been only sleeping when they came in this room. She had been dead, stone cold dead. Jairus and his wife knew it too. This was a resurrection. No words, no theories, no medical explanations. Death had been cheated and defeated here this day. But how? Only God can give life. So what does it mean? What power has Jesus just demonstrated? And what would it mean now if he even has power over life and death? I suspect Jesus may have asked that he, Peter, James, and John be permitted to leave the room first and even leave the house and get well down the street before Jairus and his wife bring his daughter out for all to see. Otherwise, at the sight of Jairus' daughter alive and well, there might be a riot in the street. And so I ask you, my friends, I know your minds are full of questions. Would you like to go interview the woman healed of 12 years of bleeding? Or would you like to stay here with Jairus and his wife and alive daughter to hear more of their story? Or would you rather rush down the street to walk with Jesus, Peter, James, and John, listening to their questions and Jesus' answers? What questions would you like to ask, my friends? And what about you, my friends, all over the world? What are your deepest needs today? How desperate are you for the powerful help that can only come from Jesus? Is anything holding you back from reaching to Jesus today, right now, right where you are? Here's a special song that fits with this remarkable experience that we've just had today.